Well, are you in for a treat today? Because welcome to another engaging episode of the CX Leadership Talks podcast. I think this is the go-to place for insights and inspirations from the top minds in customer experience, both for practitioners and for entrepreneurs. And for those that are all listening, you are both going to be surprised because we're honored to host Jeannie Walters, a renowned CCXP and a trailblazer in the CX world. Jeannie, with her extensive experience and passion for customer experience, has not only shaped exceptional customer journeys, but also inspired countless professionals through her CX entrepreneurship. In this episode, we'll dive into Jeannie's rich journey in CX. We uncover valuable lessons she learned that you can take away and some innovative strategies she's employed to transform customer interactions. Her focus is on helping organizations understand their customers in order to achieve better business results with a strategy that benefits customers, employees, and the bottom line. You paying attention? The bottom line. It's the mission of our company to create fewer ruined days for customers. I love this. And she believes in the impact of customer experience professionals in making the world a better place. So are you ready for this new episode? We're going to get, well, but I think grab a pen and a piece of paper to write down some notes. Here we go.
In the age of the customer, many companies and organizations fall short in meeting the needs and wants of their customers, let alone exceeding them. And it's time to change that. Welcome to CX Leadership Talks. Our passion is to be a catalyst for you and your organization as a customer experience leader to help understand, design, and improve experiences across the entire customer journey and the customer lifetime. It's time to spice up your CX leadership, and we've got the pro who's going to talk you through it. This is CX Leadership Talks, and now your host, Ninka Bloom.
So this is a treat, Jeannie, both in our work spaces. So very welcome to the CX Leadership Talks podcast.
Thank you so much, Ninka. I'm so happy to be here, and I always enjoy our conversations, so it's fun to get to record one of them.
Yeah. And the first question I always ask, because sometimes it's pretty difficult to explain what we do as leaders. But if you have to introduce yourself to a room, what do you say? What do you do?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love the way you phrase that because it is kind of fun, isn't it? Sometimes you introduce yourself and people look at you like, what is that? But I always say I am CEO and founder of a company called Experience Investigators. We will be celebrating our 15th year this year, so I'm pretty excited about that. And essentially what we do is we help organizations understand their customers better to get better business results. And we focus on strategy that is good for customers, employees, and bottom line results. And so that usually gets people's attention. And the mission of our company is to create fewer ruined days for customers. And so that's been the mission from the beginning. And I believe in that a lot because I really believe that the work that you and I and all these other amazing CX professionals do, it makes a better world. We do things that make people's days better. And I cannot think of a more fun and exciting profession.
I agree. And we're looking at your track record, 15 years as an entrepreneur. You also host a podcast. You have your own podcast. You also host it. But give us some of that track record, that authority, like everyone's like, whoa, we are, well, I know we're in for a treat with this podcast, but give us some like positional authority.
Well, let's see. I mean, from the beginning, I started just putting some articles out there. I started just sharing how I viewed these things. And that's really what kind of took off. And so what I did was just continue to share as I learned things, as I saw the world evolving. I want to make sure that everybody understands how quickly these things happen. So I write a lot of articles. I have, I had a podcast with Adam Toporek for a long time called Crack the Customer Code. Now I'm just celebrating a year of my own podcast at Experience Action, where people can call in, not call in, they can leave me a voicemail and then we answer a question every time. And after the content really started taking off, what happened was people were contacting me and saying, gosh, you wrote about this or I heard about this. That's exactly what we're dealing with. Can you come in and help us? And so it really started pretty organically, but then I was contacted by LinkedIn Learning, and now I've got, I think, 6 or 7 courses at LinkedIn Learning, and more than 500,000 people have gone through those courses. So that's exciting for me. And really, I am really passionate about supporting the leaders who are doing the work. Because I think it's very easy to talk about customer experience. People get very excited about it, but the work is challenging. It is not something that I think anybody can walk in and know exactly what to do, because none of us have been taught this. People didn't, you know, grow up saying they wanted to be a CX professional. We kind of all discovered this in our own way. We're all trying to figure it out. So that's really been my angle from the beginning. And now I've got this great team at Experience Investigators, and we have the podcast. We do LinkedIn Lives. We do a lot on LinkedIn as well as social. And then we've worked with organizations all over the world in most different industries, everything from Orange Theory Fitness to BASF, which is a huge global company, to IBM and SAP and all the initials.
All the big ones, all the names that we all know. Yeah. All the 3-letter abbreviation, 4-letter abbreviation. And 15 years in an organization. Mm-hmm. What sparked you to start as an entrepreneur?
Yeah, I had kind of a crooked journey. I bet most of us did, right? It's not a straight line. Where I was originally asked, my brother started a business back in the 90s, and I was in a job, and he said, well, what do you think about joining me? And it was more of a traditional marketing communications firm. And then it was literally in a client meeting where I looked around the table and I realized nobody was there for the customer. It was legal, it was procurement, it was product. And this was really when organizations had to figure out, how do we talk directly to customers now? Because the internet changed everything, social media changed everything. And so we were right in that moment, and we shifted and we really started focusing on customer experience then. And so we worked together for more than 12 years. And then there was just, people always ask, so I'll say, we are still very close. He's fine. he went and got a corporate
job. Good to know.
Yes. And at that moment, I was kind of like, well, I guess I'm going to try this. And I wish I could say like I had this great vision at the time. I really didn't. I was just trying to figure things out. And in figuring that out, I was just sharing information. I was just trying to get out there and help these leaders. And once that started rolling, I was like, wow, there's a need out there. These leaders need this support. They need people who can see beyond where they are in an organization. And so that's really what happened. I always feel a little silly saying that, because I wish I had the vision that I had later. Like, that took a while to figure out, where do I want this company to go? And
I think also because, of course, I'm aiming for CX leaders, but I think there's two sorts. I think there's the practitioners, the ones that are responsible for CX within their organization, leading teams, leading change. And there are the entrepreneurs, the consultants in tech. They are different, especially as an entrepreneur. I know there's many consultants out there that are having their own organization, they're building it, they are their entrepreneurial element, but there's also many consultants, and they need to just grow and explain their vision and sell. And I think those are two different groups that are both there. And I'm really, one of the things I'm doing this year is also putting my voice to those CX entrepreneurs, because they are on that other side, being hired by our clients to train, to help, to build strategies, to help change, all the things we're doing, consulting, advising.
Yeah, it's exactly right. And I think it's an interesting world, because I have gone into so many different organizations and CX looks different in every single one. The way it's structured, where it is on the org chart, the resources, the goals, all of that. And so I think part of being an entrepreneurial type person is that you like that. You like to go in and see different things and solve problems and all of that. And some people, you know, they might be 20 years at a company, and yes, they're solving different problems all the time, but it's still within the same place and everything else. And we need people like that. And we also need the entrepreneurs who can go in and kind of see things from that different perspective. So that's
yeah,
what I love
and take
it.
That knowledge. Yeah, I fully agree. So you've been on this trip and this road and this journey already for a long time. When you look, and I want to have like a little bit of a chapter on the why, how, what of successful CX leaders, can you share characteristics that you've noticed in truly successful CX leaders today? What do you see?
Yeah, well, I think we cannot underestimate the power of being a strong communicator, because in most organizations, CX is not carved out in the same way as marketing or sales or operations. And so in order to get that leadership buy-in, to get that cross-functional support that we need, because we can't do this on our own, we really need to be strong communicators who can make a very strong case and say, this is the outcome that will serve not just our customers, but our organization. And not just our organization, but you specifically, leader, I'm trying to get in here, you know, like this will help you personally, professionally, whatever it is. So I think that's a big part. And then really it's that kind of adaptability and problem solving, because what I see sometimes is that CX leaders get into this routine of being what I call number narrators, where they just report on numbers. Nobody does anything with those insights. Nobody has the resources to do anything with those insights. It actually is not doing anything for the customers or the organization. And nobody is brave enough to say that, or they don't know. They've been told that this is CX, just tracking feedback and reporting on it. And it's so much bigger than that. And it's so much better for the company and for the organization if you have that strategic leader who can really understand how to connect these dots and then communicate and socialize it in the way so that you get that buy-in, you build your case, and at the end of the year, you can say, look at all these amazing business results and outcomes that we got because of investing in customer experience.
Yeah, also one of the, well, the book behind me, CX is a Pilgrimage, the tagline is spice up your leadership, because I think we really need to challenge those leaders. What do you really want? What are your BHAGs? What would you do if you were the ideal version of yourself? What is holding you back? Mm-hmm. You are here on a mission. You are not just here for task. And I think especially what you're talking about, the strong communication, I call it the A of anecdote. You need to be just get that narrative really well and be a great storyteller. And then get out there with your authority, put it down, as you say, connecting the dots and not just sharing numbers, and get some action in it, because there's a lot of talk about customers, how you're going to make it work. But okay. Thank you so much for these elements. I think a lot of people listening are like, maybe I'm do a little bit more of this or a little bit more of this. And what I would also love to challenge people on, what should you do less of? Because we could do more and more and more. But print your agenda of the last 4 weeks. And what have you been doing when you look backwards on your own?
Oh, that's a great exercise. Yeah. I love that idea. Yeah.
And people
because
are like,
it's very easy to have activity, right? It's very easy to have activity around customer experience. But if that is not related to results, if that is not related to real progress, then, you know, what are you doing? You're not proving your worth. And I think that's a big part of what we need to work on in CX in general, is defining success, getting agreement on this is what success looks like. And then to your point, like everything, honestly, there are days I'm like, every single thing in an organization could be a priority of customer experience.
Yep.
So what we have to do is define success, get very clear on that, and then prioritize and push back and say, if you want me to work on this, then this means this goes away, or this means that we might not get this result. So help me prioritize here. And if you have that definition of success, you can use that and you can say, I think we should prioritize this way because this is will get us to that outcome more. So I love that idea.
You're totally right, because I've also been like, we're taping this in the beginning of the year. And then, of course, in January, you set your goals for the year. That's what I do as an entrepreneur and as a human being. Where do I want to go? Instead of just meandering a little bit around. So what I normally did was like, then suddenly halfway through the year, it's like, oh, looking at my goals again. And of course I have my monthly planning, but suddenly these big things, they stayed big. So this year I'm doing something different. Instead of just doing 31st of December and 1st of January, I'm going to do an every month aha moment where I'm going to look back and look to the next month. So not just doing it once a year as a year progress and a year step, because I love 1st of January. I'm going to be honest, I love a clean slate. I decided that every month is a clean slate. Looking at the bigger things, what am I going to do now? So I've put it into quarters and then I'm going to have myself reflect on it monthly. So I put it in my calendar.
That's excellent.
And maybe we should have our CX leaders do the same.
Yeah. Well, and I am a big believer in quarterly check-ins with your team. And a lot of the work we do with clients are, you know, we lead team workshops on this. And how do you make sure that everybody is kind of prioritizing the right thing? Because there are so many distractions and, you know, tasks that get thrown at these people, especially in these large organizations. And sometimes it's hard to say no to those things, but we really focus on, that's why we keep coming back to, like, first of all, who did we promise to be to our customers? And what are the results that we've promised our organization? Those should be your guiding principles. And so we have tools around that and different things, but it really is about exactly what you're talking about. You can't just talk about it once a year. You can't just assume it's going to happen. You have to break it down into that daily discipline. And that's really hard. Like, humans are not great at this.
No, but are really good. Thinking about it, what could be red flags when you hear those and you're like, uh-oh, this is another monkey on my shoulder that is not mine? What could be, I was thinking, I just had a conversation yesterday with a CX leader and she said to me, Nienke, I got this question today, another report. Just write me a report. And I'm like, oh my goodness. And she just said, yes, okay. And there she went making a report. I said, well, do you have like a check-in? I think just asking for a report is just get out of the way. For me, that's a red flag. What are other red flags that you say, if this happens, you have to be aware. Mm-hmm. You might be distracted.
Well, I think to your point, a lot of these organizations do spend a lot of time on documenting the activity without connecting it to the progress. And what I mean by that is we see a lot of dashboards and things that they're very proud of, these dashboards, because they're colorful and they have different graphs and things like that. But when you really look at it, you think, well, what is this telling anyone about their individual role in customer experience around why they should care about this, all this? So I think that's one thing I always look for is, are your reports actually telling a story or are they just narrating numbers? Because that context is so critical. So that's one red flag that if you're just doing that, that's, you know, a problem. And the other thing is, you know, we work on priorities based on those two things. Who are we to our customers and what are the outcomes that this company wants to achieve? And what tends to happen is one customer will get the CEO's phone number, right? And they call and they say, I waited on hold for 20 minutes and blah, blah, blah. And suddenly it's a 4-alarm fire, right? Everybody, all hands on deck, because now the CEO actually understands that this is real. But that means that they're dropping everything else. And maybe reducing wait time was already part of the plan. Maybe we already are taking efforts with that. So the red flag would be, why didn't the CEO know that? And what can we do to communicate that? Instead of saying, okay, that is our number one priority, even though we have these other priorities. So I think when we shift priorities quickly, when we go for a sense of urgency instead of importance, that can create a lot of red flags for me.
Yeah, I think we have to be aware. And maybe it's also a good idea for the people that are listening. Make the red flags for your organization and make a list. So you know when it's coming about that you just should be alert. You're like, we might be distracted now. And we might decide to go do it. But what are we not going to do? Because you probably have some some issues in your time anyway. Although I really want to challenge people to put at least 20% of your time for white space. And always people are like, oh, what do you mean? I said, well, you need inspiration. You need those things that come from the board that you can get some authority points with. Mm-hmm. You need some time for that. There will be new insights, and don't put everything full. Don't plan everything.
Yes. Yes, yeah, I totally agree. And I am guilty of sometimes needing that challenge. It's like we say these things as reminders to ourselves sometimes, right? Because, but one of the gifts I think that I got out of the, you know, shutdown during the pandemic was I realized like I have to get out of this house. I have to do something. So I would walk the dog after lunch every day for a longer walk. So he gets a walk in the morning and then we take this longer run. And I started realizing that just taking that 30 minutes where I walk the dog for a mile and a half or whatever, and I'm listening to podcasts sometimes, but I'm not on my phone at all. I don't use a screen. No. And I found that it was so important to me to have that fresh air in the middle of the day and everything else. So I continue to do that. That's still really, that's like sacred time. Now, does it work every single day of my life? No, it doesn't. No, and I also live in Chicago where we've just had terrible sub-zero weather.
Yep.
Yes. So there are days they're not, you know, but for the most part, I just decided to block that time on my calendar because it was that important.
I think, and also for the entrepreneur, we'll get to that later. For me, I planned my whole year. And the first thing that I got in my calendar was my holidays. Then I put my business development moments. I put my personal development moments in. And then I put my open classes in. And so I've got a whole calendar with different colors of, I even have it here. Just wait a second. I can get it. For the people that are... So for the people that are looking at this, so the first thing I got in is holidays. So, and you have July and August are holidays. So the pink ones are holidays. Then I put in my PSA, Australia, my and my GSS to go to, and then I put in business development. So I've got all these moments in. So I know that I have time for technical and strategical work.
Yep.
People always laugh. I did this in October already. Because otherwise, people are living my agenda. I don't want that.
Right. Yeah. Right. No, I totally get that. And there's a...
I'm back.
There's a saying, I think, I'm trying to remember how it goes, but it's basically like, if you don't own your time, then other people will. And
you have to
control it.
And it is a challenge because you cannot always stick to it. But if you stick 80% of the time to it and you put your intention that you're like, okay, yeah, and I've put 2 weeks for business development, for example, writing a new keynote, creating content. Those moments are so, and I think also for CX leaders, they need time to build a new strategy. They need time to prepare for a team day. They need time for a leadership summit where they are going to present or maybe even organize. You don't do it on the fly. And I think maybe some are a little bit naive in that. And it's us seniors, all these wise women look at us. And just to wrap this little thing up, because there's going to be there's challenges in the future. What new skills do you believe will be essential for CX leader to acquire? Looking a little bit like the next 5 years.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm sure this is not a surprise, but I think we need to understand AI and how it can be used. And I say that in that way because I think right now, there's a lot of innovation happening. There are a lot of very exciting things. There are a lot of challenges. I personally think we're going to see some legal things happen in the next few years that will disrupt. We're going to see new technology that will disrupt. And we're going to see some mergers and acquisitions that will disrupt. But up to the CX leaders, we don't need to program the AI. But we need to have a really clear understanding of where it's fitting in the customer journey. And we have to know enough to know when it's not working, to know when there are challenges, to know when we have to, you know, get more humans involved. Because I think the fear that everybody has I'm very optimistic about it. I will say I think it's really exciting technology. I think it's going to serve people and do a lot for the world. But we're going to have some bumpy roads to get there.
Yeah.
And I think that that is something that if we are not really educating ourselves on not just the use cases, but also what is this thing and where is this data coming from and how are we using it, then we are doing ourselves and our customers a disservice. We have to be the ones who sometimes ask those hard questions of, okay, so you're saying that we have all this data. Have we told our customers that we're using their data this way? That's what I think we're going to see, our privacy issues coming up, legal questions coming up. So I really think we have to just make sure we are staying on top of all of that in a very careful way.
I think this is brilliant. I think all these paradigms that are there, yes, people are sharing everything on Facebook, but that doesn't mean they want that you use all their data. So all these paradigms that are out there, legal paradigms, I think what's happening now with ethics, how you use elements, I think it's, diversity issues. I think it's very good that we stay on top of trends, what they might be of risk to the organization, and to have maybe the dialogue on it instead of, because I think sometimes we end up a little bit in a black and white discussion, but to have the dialogue and to see where the importance takes it and what might be risks for the organizations. Because when you put it into management, suddenly it's less fearful. It's not like, oh, customers are saying, or no, it's a risk if we're being out there and we're seen as racists, or it is a risk when we are secretly using data in a way that might not be really okay if the story comes out.
That's right. Yeah.
And so stay on trend.
Mm-hmm. And give customers the benefit of the doubt around this stuff. Like, share information and give them some control over their own data and their own privacy issues and all of those things. Because, you know, we were moving in that direction for a long time around data control. And then AI kind of, everybody said, well, isn't this cool? And now people are starting to ask questions of, where is this data coming from? And how do we know that it's okay to use? And I think that's the part that will be very interesting over these next few years.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you. Going a little bit into, you're based in the USA. You just shared you're in Chicago, but you're moving all around, I know. Sometimes there's a lot of talk about that trends might be a little bit different between the USA and maybe Europe or Asia or the Pacifics or Africa. What is a trend, or what are trends that you see happening in the USA that you're like, oh, this is important to share with other global CX leaders?
Mm-hmm. I think the thing that I think is somewhat more American in some ways is, when things happen, there is a drive to action very, very quickly. And so the example that I'm thinking of is, like, during the pandemic, there were organizations that had 6-year digital transformation plans that they were able to execute in 6 weeks because there was a need. And all of a sudden, everybody gets on board and there's like that American ingenuity and, you know, there's like this sense of, yes, we get it done. On the flip side of that, what I will say is that we can, I don't think this will surprise anybody, be a little too US centric, right? We do not necessarily look beyond the US. And so I think what we can learn from the rest of the world, frankly, is that, you know, being inclusive to a global audience, which all of us have to do now, means more than just translating into a different language. It means understanding the culture. It means understanding the habits. It means understanding the everyday lives of people in these different areas and making sure that we are meeting them where they are, instead of saying, well, this is the way that we do it in the US, so join us. I think that's what is so interesting about even the idea of inclusiveness. I have a lot of conversations with our clients about this because they think of that as, to your point, like a diversity issue. And they think of it from that very US lens. And I'm like, yes, that's part of this. But we want to make sure that if we're serving people in Europe and Africa and South America, we have to understand them, or we have to make sure that we are aware of what they really want so that we can make sure that we successfully meet them where they are. And there are plenty of examples of companies that get that wrong.
Yeah, we even had that conversation with the CXPA because it's an example, and I'm really happy that we managed to solve it. But it was very interesting that the rules in Europe, in the Netherlands, were very different when it came to COVID than they were in the US.
Sure.
And the CXPA was like, there will be no live meetings, where everything in the Netherlands was getting open. And then there were some rules and regulations. But and we asked our members, what do you want? Do you want an online meeting for a CXPA meetup? Or do you know, everybody wanted live. So we just organized. And then they said later, the CXPA said, no, but in the rules and regulations, we determined that there's no live meetings. And we were like, yep, but hello, please have a look how our world is. It's so different. And then we had a good conversation on it. But USA can be very USA-centric. I agree.
Well, and I think it's not just like the country-centric. It's even regional sometimes, where I worked with a client who had a really successful kind of retail footprint in the southern states where it's warm. Well, then they moved to the north and people were saying, it's too small. I've got these big jackets I want to hang up. And we had to shift how we were looking at the footprint because... You know, and me in Chicago, I could relate. And I was saying, you know, we wear boots and then we want to take them off, or we want to, you know, all these different things.
And so they take a look at your customers.
That's right. That's right. So I think it's a really important issue that sometimes is overlooked.
Yeah. I like it. I think I think you can translate it to all kinds, like dive into what your customers want. But I think a lot of people will recognize if we stereotype, you can stereotype to the US. I want to move on to your CX entrepreneurship, because I think a lot of my listeners are also consultants, are entrepreneurs. You already shared how you started, but what unique challenges do you face as a business owner in CX, and how do you address them? What are things that you come onto your road? What bumps?
It's just been smooth sailing since the beginning, Ninka. No. I know this is an audio platform, but I will share this and then describe it. This is in the back of my planner, and it's a little graphic that says success, and it's a straight line up that says what people think it looks like. And then on the right, it says success, and it's a big squiggle. And it says what it really looks like. And I really believe that, because we've all been there. I think the challenges that we all have in customer experience is, you know, I drive my marketing people crazy because they say, well, who's the ideal title? And I was like, that is such a good question that I cannot answer, because they're different in every single organization. So I think one of our challenges is just figuring out who's doing what and who would really benefit from our services. So that's one challenge we have just from a marketing perspective. And then I think the other thing is, sometimes we're in there and it's going great, and the CEO or the C-suite gets skittish because the economy is not doing well or something. And it feels like an extra line item on their budget. It feels like, well, we could just get rid of, we're not going to get rid of sales or marketing or operations, but we can get rid of CX. And of course, that's really hard to see, because a lot of times those people are doing incredible work and making progress, and it just vanishes. And so I think that's something in the marketplace that every CX person deals with, frankly. But as an entrepreneur, it can be very challenging, because there are just folks out there who still don't think this is a thing.
Yeah. Not everybody is a fan. Yeah. I think this is also where we can help our clients market their own results better, share and help them frame it. And I think, it's an interesting,
Well, and I you think part of what I'm really excited about that's happening in CX is that, you know, we're having more education around it. People are more likely to understand what it is. because, you know, I'm growing my organization. And so in building a team, that can be really challenging. Finding people with the right skill set who have enough diverse experience, because there are plenty of people who have run a CX program in one organization. But a lot of times those folks don't have the diversity of experience that we need. And so it's just, that's an interesting challenge too, as we grow.
Can you tell me a little bit of your organization? What does it look like? What is...
Yeah. Well, we are continually a work in progress, but really there are kind of two things we do. There's the consulting side where we work with different organizations on coaching and training and workshops and, general advising and all those things. And then on the other side is really the genie stuff that I do, which is the speaking and the writing and all that stuff and influencer work and all that.
Yeah.
And so the team that we have right now, a lot of it is around support of those two things. So we have a chief operating officer, and he really helps me kind of manage the team. We have a chief marketing officer. We have somebody who helps with social media. And then I also have for the first time, we have a business development person. So that's pretty exciting because that's always been something I've done. And then we also have on the kind of consulting client side, we have some consultants that we bring in specifically for different types of skill sets. So, and we're a global team right now. I can say that even though most of us are in North America, but we have one person in Europe as well. But we have a couple Canadians, so that's why I can say that we're international. So we're all virtual and remote, and it's a great team. I'm very excited about the team we built.
Are they employees or are they also entrepreneurs themselves that get work through you and that work like as a contractor?
Mm-hmm. So we have different arrangements with different folks, but most of them are contractors, but some of them are almost full-time. It kind of operates as if everybody's an employee. We are actually working on different things so that we can do more of what you're talking about and send people out on our behalf who are more kind of our certified, coaches and things like that. But we are working on that right now. So we haven't been able to do that right now. Yeah. So now when I go out to do a journey mapping workshop or something like that, a lot of times I will bring different consultants with me who help support that and help support that client relationship. But it's very much a team environment. And that's what I love about it, because I get inspired by other brains, right? And I think it's energizing to have that group that we can bounce ideas around and leverage everybody's unique gifts and talents.
Yeah, I think, and it's also what I love is that it's always growing and you have to make decisions. For example, when you look at your marketing, like first you had the podcast with Adam and now you decided to do something else. So it's also about making decisions, putting things forward. And I know you have last year started, and I think we're also here. And what I love about the speaker world is that it's really like what the saying is, let's grow the pie bigger. And I think that's we in CX also should do that. I just yesterday experienced a horrible way of somebody totally crashing and cursing on a global CX group in WhatsApp about something of me. And I was do you just, it was, and I'm like, that would not happen in the speaker world. So I'm like, we have some ways to go here in CX. Mm-hmm. But tell me about your
terrible.
It's really, I slept really bad because those words do matter. I think you could say it says more about him than it does about me, and it's all true. But suddenly it goes under your skin and you're just like, did he just say that? Did he just say all these words? Well, the good thing is that the community corrected it and that's good. But still, you're like, ooh, there's so much aggression. Yeah. Why?
I've had that happen. I've had that happen.
Yeah?
And it's shocking. Yeah. And especially because I think, I know that your intent and my intent is good, right? Like we want to bring good to the world. And I think when people question that, that's really, it's hurtful. It's hurtful. And that, because they don't know your heart. They don't know who you are when they say things like that. So I heard a great quote from Maya Angelou, the brilliant poet from the US here. And she was very good friends with Oprah Winfrey, and Oprah was complaining about some of the criticism she got. And Maya Angelou said to her, "But you're not in that." And it's such a simple thing, but it really, it gave me pause. And I thought about that when I went through that. So you are not in that. That is.
I know it, but then I have to get some more Teflon. I'm like,
whew. Yeah, well,
but,
and you might know that but it still affects your heart. Yeah.
Yeah. It's still, you're like, how can you say that about, I don't even recognize, I recognize nothing. That is something that I think that a lot of entrepreneurs out there should know, that when you are visible, when you put content out there on LinkedIn, when you do product development, not everybody is a fan. And this happens, and you need to be aware that, but that doesn't say anything about you. And I think that's very, very important. Right. But let's, something completely different, because I love the speaker world where we say, let's grow the pie bigger and we help each other. And I'm also here because you have your flight school. Tell me.
Yes. So like you were saying too, it's scary to put things out to the world sometimes. So I appreciate that. Yeah. Last year we started a program because we started realizing there were a lot of leaders out there who they would, you know, because we give a lot away for free. We have a lot of guides and workbooks and things that people can download and use on their own at Experience Investigators. And what we realized was they were downloading these things and then they were still kind of like asking all these follow-up questions, trying to figure it out on their own. And they weren't at the right place to bring us in for a workshop or things like that. So we wanted to bridge that gap. So we created something we call CXI Flight School. CXI is a registered trademark of ours. That means customer experience investigation, thus experience investigators. And we just decided, like, how can we support these folks who are maybe starting a program or restarting or just trying to figure this out? And so we created Flight School, and the first part of it is we call Ground School. And it's really about getting those pieces right. Who are you to your customers? We use something called a customer experience mission statement. How do you define success? A customer experience success statement. Yeah. And then how do you build and manage a team? Because a lot of times the team is not really a dedicated team. It's people who are voluntold, as I like to say, hey, you are going to be the customer champion from this department and you're going to show up at this meeting and represent customers. And a lot of those things, if they're too ad hoc, they just don't get traction. And so it's been really nice because we've gotten to know these amazing leaders all over the world who are trying new things. I do some one-on-ones with them. We do different workshops and live Q&As and things like that. So we're just really excited about it. And I think it's a different option than like a lot of things out there. And I think all the great work that you and other educators do, it all kind of dovetails together based on where somebody is in their CX journey. So this is just another tool for them.
Yeah, and so, for everybody that's listening, know that the links will be in the show notes because I think it's very important for these people that don't have the money for consultants, let's just say it like that, that like figuring out things themselves, but could help a little bit, nudge, have some peer learning. Well, they are very well off at your CXI Flight School.
Well, thank you. Yeah. Thank you. Yeah, we were very excited that our first group all renewed and stayed part of it. So that was great feedback for us. And we continue to get that great feedback. So it's very exciting. And then after Ground School, we do go over a lot of other stuff. So there's a lot of opportunity there. So thank you for doing that.
Good, good. But going into your entrepreneurial, you are already in here 15 years. What advice would you give to aspiring CX entrepreneurs who want to make a significant impact in the industry? What advice would you give them?
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, CX is a really big place. And so I think one of the things is we don't all have to do everything, right? Like if you are really great at setting up a voice of the customer program and really helping people understand that and understand the technology, then that's a great way to set yourself apart. And that's a great thing to own. And I think one of the things that took me a while was figuring out, like, what do I want to do? What do I not want to do? And if you're really clear on that, it just becomes so much better because then you can reach out to people who also complement your skills. You can look for referrals in a very specific way. You can, you know, all these different things. So I would say really know where you fit in the CX landscape, because several years ago, it was enough to say like, yeah, we're doing customer experience stuff. But I compare it to what happened to marketing in the last 30 years. Like 30 years ago, big companies sometimes were like, yeah, we've got a marketing guy, right? Like, yeah, no problem. And now there's a whole team for direct marketing and a whole team for digital marketing and a whole team for marketing analytics and all those things. And the same thing is happening with CX. It's getting very distinct what areas you can do. So that's what I would say is just, or if there's a specific industry you love or things like that, get really focused on where you fit. And that will help you stand out.
I think it's so true. What I'm looking to for my CX leadership retreat in Bali, I have one for practitioners, but I'm also going to organize one for CX entrepreneurs and consultants. Mm-hmm. And one of the things we're doing is really like, what are you really known for? So, and where do you want to focus? And then we're going to build a strategic map, but also build a product ecosystem. Not because everybody adds products left and right, but no, if you just build them gradually. I'm in my 10th year of business. People say, whoa, how did your business grow the way that it is? Because I have these learning flows. And I'm like, I add one product a year. I add one product a year because your customers cannot consume anymore. So for, I think, and helping others with the systems that we use, I think is very valuable. So, but well, thank you for sharing that.
Heard that and takes advantage of that. Cause I wish you were around when I was starting as an entrepreneur, because that, what you just described, that would be so, so valuable. So if you are thinking about that, and it's in Bali, I mean, come on.
it's not just for starting entrepreneurs. I really think that there are some seasoned entrepreneurs. I've given my some of the elements I'm going to share in Bali. I've done it for PSA London. I've done it for PSA India. I'm going to do it for the GSS in Bali, because I'm not going to Bali, because it's I'm going to be for the Global Speaker Summit in Bali and going to do the leadership retreat before. But I know that many people don't have systems in place. And somehow I got some systems that really work well from a business perspective. And I think a lot of people need to put their personal brand and to put their vision and elements in there and scale some of their business elements that they have. So that's what we're going to do over there.
That sounds great.
Oh, we're
exciting.
Almost there, but I look at the time. So I'm going to wrap up with the two questions I always ask. What is a habit that you, as a human, as a person, developed and practiced that really delivered you some results and hopefully CX results?
Well, I think part of what I am very dedicated to is kind of a morning routine for myself. And so, again, I'm not 100% at this. I'm not perfect, but in an ideal world, I start with a workout, I meditate, and then I have a paper journal that I started using a few years ago. And I love writing down the day before, what does my day look like? What do I need to do? How do I break that out? Because when you write it down, it triggers different things in your brain than looking at a digital screen. And so if I do those three things and have my special coffee and my big water, like, that's a good way to start the day. And that really is what kind of helps with my daily discipline. And I think that's what we all need for CX results, is we need some daily discipline around putting in the right effort so we get those outcomes. So that's my very human answer.
We love it. Well, I think this is what I love about the podcast and about the people that are on here. And today it's you, that you share your little gems of advice. And sometimes these are just the things that people need. And I think setting yourself up for success in the morning and doing the things that you love and help you, well, deliver what you want to deliver and make the world a better place in CX, I think that is a very smart way to do. And I don't know for the listeners if it works. I'm really curious if you're more like morning people or evening people. But yeah, I'm in your team, Jeannie. So. And then at last, like more a content suggestion from you. Which book or a podcast or a video do you recommend the listener to spend time on to spice up their CX leadership?
Well, I am a big believer that in order to understand customer experience, we have to go way beyond CX. We have to understand marketing. We have to understand operations. We have to understand why business leaders make the decisions they do. I am a huge podcast person. And I do love, I'm going to put a plug for my podcast, Experience Action, because part of what I love about it is I hear the questions that these CX leaders really have, which is really exciting. But I look beyond, I mean, I listen to a lot of CX ones, yours included, of course, but I also look for things around marketing, around, like, I love some of the brain, like Hidden Brain is one of my favorite ones where they talk about,
okay,
why does the brain work this way? The other one I like is How I Built This, which is...
I love, you know, How I Built, yeah.
It's great, right? And then, but I also listen to things about, you know, so there's a CMO, the CMO podcast. I listen to that where they interview different chief marketing officers and some of the challenges that they've had. So I try to like really go through different modalities because I feel like that's what helps us really understand that we're part of this bigger business and we have to really deliver across the business. And so that, and then I would say, just listen to every CX one you can, because there are always different pieces in there that can really educate and empower and inspire.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you so much. I've written down The Hidden Brain, How I Built This, and the CMO podcast. And of course, I'm going to show everybody in the show notes your podcast, your website, I think your LinkedIn profile if they're not connected yet. I think very valuable conversation. Thank you so much on customer experience leadership, entrepreneurship, and your personal element. So, Jeannie, thank you so much for taking the time and sharing all this wisdom with me as a fellow CX leader, but also with the listeners, because this is what we do. We share and we help others grow CX practices. So thank you.
Well, thank you. This was a delight. And I, like I said, it was fun to record one of our conversations because we could keep doing this for a while.
It's always so fun. Yeah. Well,
thank you so much.
Let's do one next year and then we take a totally different topic of maybe when we meet at a CX Leaders Advanced, put a live one together, but let's see what happens. Thank you so much, Jeannie.
Thank you.
You've been listening to CX Leadership Talks. Ninka is a customer experience speaker and educator. She has written books and spoken and educated leaders all around the world. She's one of the global thought leaders in the field. We hope you've enjoyed this show. If you did, make sure to like, rate, and review. We'll be back soon. But in the meantime, you can also find us on YouTube and LinkedIn and ninkabloom.com. Thanks again for joining us today, and we'll see you next time on CX Leadership Talks.